Good morning. Hear these wonderful words from the psalmist this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And yay for today, we have two little ones in the back that I suspect will be making some joyful noises throughout the service. And it's our responsibility to pass on to that generation. So God is good. God picked that scripture just out of the blue this morning. So we're good. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning. I see all familiar faces this morning. As you know, several of our members of the congregation have made their way south, which should be warmer, but is not. And so, Tim said that Kathy went yesterday and picked up hand warmers for everyone who's serving at church under the bridge. And so, most certainly, we keep them in our prayers this morning. Super Bowl Sunday, do we have a final about what we sent to the pantry or, okay, there, that, okay. I just know that they were very busy sorting and taking care of. I saw on Facebook the boxes full that we had helped contribute, and I am so grateful. I want to ask you this morning to do something for me. If you will go ahead at some point and pull out the Pew Bible that's underneath the seat, and I'm going to ask you to actually follow along this morning as we read the Old and the New Testament, and that will make a little bit of sense later on, I hope. So, one of the reasons that I'm asking you to do that is, if you can see, things look a little bit different this morning. You know, you send your pastor away to a conference and they come back with these weird, new, strange things. Actually, that had nothing to do with the conference, believe it or not. And so this morning, what I am hoping to do is to share with you actually my written morning devotional from Wednesday morning. And if it morphs into a sermon, then that's what the Spirit will have it be. But mostly, one of the things that we did talk about while I was at the Christian Educators Conference is that we need to tell our story. And I know I ask all of us to tell our story all of the time. Sometimes perhaps I don't share my story enough and where my faith life is at any particular moment. And so as I was doing my morning devotional and looking at scripture, it sort of came together, and this is what you have this morning. Feel free to like it or not. So the Spirit will be in it no matter how it is done. For those who are on our prayer list this morning, we certainly offer in sincerity our prayers of joy, our prayers of condolence, our prayers of sorrow for them. And I want to add one more to that list. Jimmy Hutchinson, who is T.J. Hutchinson's brother. And if you know Evelyn, you know T.J. Evelyn is, T.J. is Evelyn Parker's friend. And Jimmy, T.J.'s brother, has been diagnosed with colon cancer. And so please keep him on our prayers, Jimmy Hutchinson. Are there others this morning? I know Jacob asked me about praying for a friend of his mother's who has been diagnosed with cancer also. Bobby, okay. Bobby and lung cancer. Okay. I could do without that word in our English vocabulary, quite honestly. But, and then by way of celebration, Jacob, you want to come out just a little bit here? Okay. Jacob did his power weightlifting last weekend. And if you will notice, he has a silver, a bronze, and a gold, and then a medal. So we are proud of you, Jacob. Thank you. It's lifting all of those cans that makes you strong, right? There you go. Okay. This morning, as we prepare for worship, I'm going to ask you to kind of begin to think about the scriptures that we are going to be reading to help you visualize, to help you dig deeper into scripture. We will be starting a Bible study during the season of Lent. And this is kind of what I have in mind to get us going as part of that study. So for today, think about this scripture. I'm talking about the Luke passage from the perspective of the fish. Would you be saying, you're caught in that net, would you be saying, yay, all of my friends are here, let's party? Or might you be saying, well, I guess if I got to get stuck with these stinky ones, I might as well enjoy it. Or would you say, Lord, use me to feed as many as possible? If you'd been working all night long with nothing to show for it, would you have exercised even the little bit of faith that Peter did when he got back out in that boat to push off again? There are two boats in this story. One of the boats ends up doing all of the work. The other one gets to reap the benefits because it's overflowing with fish. Are we willing to partner with others for the sake of Christ without getting any credit? Or maybe even without getting any of the benefits? What happens when the proverbial net of our lives get too full? And from the Isaiah passage, how often have we truly said and meant, here I am, Lord, send me. Let us pray. Lord, who calls us to praise and prayer,
to song and silence, you now call us to worship. Lord, who calls us to hearing and healing, to service and solidarity, you now call us to love. Lord, who calls us to advocacy and action, to protest and to provision, you now call us to justice. Lord, may we listen and respond to all the ways of our souls.
please join as we are called to worship. Gentle and patient,
God, you are all.
Careful and persistent,
God, you are all.
In grieving and in praise,
God, you are all.
Through dawn and midday,
God, you are all.
Unexpected and planned,
God, you are all.
In a still small voice and in power,
God, you are all.
Spontaneous and prepared,
God, you are all.
Willing or protected,
God, you are all.
Our God is eager to share with us wherever we are in our journey. May we be diligent to listen.
God, we hear you calling.
Please be seated. As we listen for God's call, may we be truthful about our lives, about our living, and about our limits, even as we confess our sins and pray for forgiveness. Please pray with me.
The good news for us is that God's mercy is deeper than the depths of the sea. God's grace is wider than the whole expanse of all of the earth. God's love and forgiveness, thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, are forever. Amen. Please join your hearts together as I pray. As we wait in our simple, sometimes crazy, constantly uncertain lives, speak to us the truth of your word we know in Scripture and in the life of Christ, of that hope which is our anchor, of that peace which is our rock, of that grace which is our refuge. This we pray. Amen. Listen for the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah, from the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts."
Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go with us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me."
Kind of a toe-tapping one. In giving thanks to God, we listen this morning from Luke's Gospel. And it is the fifth chapter, the first 11 verses. And if you are following in your pew Bible, it is page 62. Imagine yourself in this particular scene. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked of him to put out just a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but we've caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who are with him were amazed at the catch that he had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." So when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
So, talking about fish, right? What kind of guitar do you think fish play? Bass. Where do women fish keep their money? Their money. And their octopus. Did you hear about the crab that went to the gym? He pulled a muscle. Okay, let's get this over with. What do fish use for money?
Clams.
Sand dollars. Sand dollars. Okay. Like I said, this is a bit more personal than usual. And so I'm going to ask you to imagine what I was seeing on Wednesday morning, looking through the windows. We went to Galveston. And of course, anytime you go to the beach, you expect it to be sunny and warm and blue. I even started out with blue because I was so happy that I was going to be by the water. Well, if you'll notice, by the end, it turns gray. So, anyway, imagine with me, if you will, if you were in this story, or if you're talking to God about this story, what would it say to you? I'm going to tell you what it said to me. In the silence, listen for the Spirit to speak to you. Today doesn't look like a day that I would go fishing, not even with you, Jesus. Looking off of the balcony here in Galveston, all I see is this thick, soup-like fog with a little peaks of snow-capped waves coming through. The sun's supposed to burn off in the mid part of the day, but right now, I'm not going to go anywhere near the water. Much less think about getting into a boat. And in all honesty, God, right now, I don't even want to get out of the apartment. Go ahead and call me chicken. But fishing today, even with you, Lord, feels scary. Quite honestly, I'm not even exactly sure what going fishing with you looks like. For me, for Eastminster right now, your Spirit is moving faster than my brain can think, but I am so excited, Lord. Not because you've put on my heart to do more, but to dig deeper, or if I'm going to stick with this fish story, to fish more deeply in whatever or whatever more that you're casting before us. I'm not a good swimmer at all, and so, Lord, that scares me. But then again, you never promised a life of faith would be like a lap in the pool, one and done. And as my devotional said this morning, God calls us to love, and sometimes love ends badly. God calls us to give, and sometimes, you know, God, our gifts are rejected. God calls us to welcome the stranger, and sometimes the stranger is stranger than we expected. Yep. A life of faith really is more than a lap in the pool, one and done. Sometimes it's like plowing through this thick, soupy fog that I see. It's just one stroke at a time with no end in sight. So some days I feel like Peter. I get to the end of the day, I'm about to wash the nets, about to call it quit, and you say, not yet. Through the years, I have moved from seriously to okay, I'm listening. Because I've learned to trust that mostly you just want me to listen. To be reminded that in the unknown, like this thick fog, that you're my strength. That in the ministry that I do, it is always you working in me. You want me to be realistic and honest about the world around me, but you don't want me to lose my optimism, even because I know the world is a mess. You don't want me to lose my risk-taking, my faith that says, God, through you, I can step out of the boat. I can go out into this fog because it is through me that you catch the fish. You know, the way too often I expend all of my energy, my skills, my gifts, my creativity, before I realized that it would have been more faithful and a whole lot less exhausting if I had turned to you sooner for direction instead of trying to figure out this fishing thing by myself. Is that how it was with Peter? Did it take a boatload of fish for him to understand how you, Lord, offer to feed us body and soul in order that we can feed others in your name? I sense his trust, but Simon Peter is one of the disciples who ended up wanting to send all the people away to go home and to fix lunch when all you wanted to do was to provide them with what they had before them. Do I look too far ahead of me sometimes instead of seeing what you put right in front of me as provision enough? I know I've had a blessed life. From cradle up, I was told and I have embraced for myself that I am a beloved child of yours, but that's not always the case with others, and it doesn't seem like that was the case for Peter. Did someone in his past tell him that he wasn't worthy of the good things that you promise? Heaven forbid that that came from the church. But I'd be lying if I didn't own up and say, you know what? I've been guilty of that from time to time. So I'm grateful for the lesson that I'm learning from Simon Peter. You didn't tell him to clean up his act before he came back for a blessing. Your unconditional love for him told him and told me and told the congregation back at Eastminster that we're already your kingdom people. Do you ever get tired of reminding us that your hand is reaching out, teaching us how to disciple, teaching us how to trust, teaching us how to cast out our nets? Peter learned to go deeper into trust and faith and hope in you. And, oh, Lord, I want continuing kind of deep faith that shows the world how loved and forgiven we really are. So, Lord, in my own faith life, deeper, please, deeper. You saw in Peter what he didn't see in himself. You see in me what I can't see. You see in the congregation what they can't see in themselves. And again, I'm not at all sure what is beyond this thick fog for any of us in our day in and our day out ministry. But the excitement is still outweighing the fear. Not completely, but mostly. So help me with that fear because, Lord, you're the one doing the fishing. We're the ones just being asked to cast out the nets. But you're asking me to not be afraid to leave the shallow waters and to cast out into the deep. It sounds good, Lord, until I remember last year on the beach at Gulf Shores, a couple yelling for Gary and I to get out of the water. And we were only knee deep in the water, but there was a shark 10 feet from us. I'm not even really sure I want to go out into the shallow water, to tell you the truth. And if I have my way in June, Molly and Morgan are going to sit on the beach in the sand, and I'm going to pour water over them. They're not going anywhere near the water. I'm sure they will. Like Peter, I want courage of faith to wade out further to find that deeper relationship that I long for and that I long for others. Lord, your Spirit has invited and actually challenged me this year to dig deeper. But what does that look like? I need you to show me what you want. I need you to help me dig deeper, please. And I love that your words to Peter don't stop with, let's just go to the deep water, but they continue with that promise expectation that he should get ready to have a big catch. I want to embrace that excitement. I want to have the faith to expect that you, the master fisher, are going to put more fish in the net than I, and we have nets ready to go. Lord, whether that's in my personal life, the lives of the church back at Eastminster, the lives of each person in the church. You're God and we're not. When I see all around me scarcity, you see abundance. You always have, you always will. There's five loaves, there's two fish, and then there's a whole feast. One prayer gets shared and it brings all of our hearts together. Super Bowl Sunday, Eastminster style meets Super Bowl Sunday skyline style, and bam, we get to see multiplication and abundance, Super Bowl God style. Presbyterian women, least coin morphs into a coinocopia. Sorry, Lord, couldn't resist that one. I look at the congregation and I see so few fish helpers. You look at the congregation and what you see are many people with many more gifts. One person, multiple gifts. And so teach me and teach us to see the abundant Spirit promises of transforming lives that bring us back into the right relationship with you. The bottom line for me, Lord, is keep me focused on you. You're God. I'm not. Keep teaching me how to fish when and where and how you desire. And since I started talking to you, Lord, the fog hasn't lifted. The wind is now bending the palm trees down and that's pushing the waves back into the ocean. The sight of the water is just chilling me to my very bone. It's so hard to even think about going shallow today, much less God going deeper. So what do I pray for right now? I pray trust in your promise that when I and when we get weary and cold and scared journeying out into the fog of the unknown for the sake of your kingdom, I pray that you will remind me that the boats and the nets are yours and that they're there to catch us too. So, Lord, in my faith life, let's go. Let's go deeper, please. Amen.
And affirm your faith.
Yeah.
One prayer, many hearts. May the power of the Spirit be upon us as we go to our God in prayer. Lord, you invite us, you even call us, to sail out of our smug harbors into the uncharted waters of faith, to wander off from our predictable paths and to follow you into the unpredictable footsteps of the kingdom. And all the while, you remind us that you are a God of extravagant promises, who ask of us obedience in thanksgiving for your presence with us always. You are the God who calls people like me and like us, and that long list of mothers and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, and so many before us who trusted the promise enough to keep the call. We are beneficiaries of that faith, Lord. And so we pray enough of your grace and your mercy among us that we may be among those who not only believe your promises, but believe them enough to respond to your call to share the faith. All of life is a call and a response. And so help us to listen to the rhythm of each day, day by day, so that we're not overwhelmed with the thought of the future. Guide us into that future so that we can know who and whose we are. And Lord, who we are at this particular moment, are your people gathered here in this place called Eastminster? And there are those among us, Lord, who in mind, body, and spirit need to be reassured of your presence with them. For healing of body, we pray for Ashley. For healing that will come, we pray for Tara. For moments of loss and mourning and holes that fill those places when people that we love leave, we ask that you be with the Dawsons and the Clarks. Lord, we are grateful for Charlie and for Anna. We are grateful for their families, for the faith in which they are raising their children, perhaps not here among us, Lord, but still showing those kids faith. Lord, we are grateful that Jacob is part of this congregation and that he reminds us so very often how wonderful and simple and fun and joyful life can be. Thank you, Lord, for him. For all who have traveled in this weather, for all who have gathered outside to give you praise and thanksgiving, we ask the warmth of your spirit upon them and safe travels as they return home. All of those prayers, Lord, that are deep in our hearts, we ask now that you allow the Spirit to grab them, to hold them, to bring them to you, and let us trust that you hear them. And Lord, as we wait in our simple, sometimes crazy, uncertain lives, speak to us of your Spirit of grace, of that hope, as Janet so beautifully said earlier, the hope that is our anchor, the peace that is our rock, and the grace, your grace, that's our refuge. We pray now, Lord, as your Son has taught us to pray, trusting that you provide for all our needs. Hear us as we together say,
Father,
This thing we call trust may be difficult for us in our day. It was for the disciples in their day. But we have the very same promise that they have. And that is everything that we bring to God, we have the reassurance that God takes it, uses it, multiplies it, and says, well done. May we receive God's tithes and our offering.
Please pray with me. Our hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life, of community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen.
I think the choir just gave the benediction. Come and follow and don't be slow. But together, let us give thanks to God and be reminded that, yeah, we are called to fish, but we're called to fish by the greatest fisherman of all. And if we will but trust that in our own personal lives as well as our communal lives, if we expect it, God will provide. The buzz of the world interrupts our lives and fills our ears.
Awesome.
The complaints of others settle in our mind and they cloud our vision. The cries of the poor, the oppressed, the outcast pierce our hearts. Fill our hearts, fill our eyes, fill our ears with your love, O God.